Merkle Media.
As a driver, with
clearly,
all of
clearly
these safety,
not right, because they're doing it now with our trucks now
with a driver behind
the genius
the wheel.
Engineers that yep. are making these trucks and stuff who never drove and never drove in real life yes. situations are making these trucks that are doing this now. So yes. who knows what's going to happen in the future, right?
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, I'm bad to the bone.
Sorry.
I just had to do some ad libbing there.
I thought maybe you had something going on. I didn't know.
He put it in park, threw open the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, crossed the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people who really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Hammer Lane Legends. I'm your host, Tony Merkle. Thanks for... Oh, I forgot you, Dad.
It's been a while.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been since Tuesday.
Man, I was trying not to do bloopers on this.
Producer Jack.
Yeah, so it is what it is.
Yep.
Where are we at here? Hammer Lane Legends. I'm your host, Tony Merkle.
And I am Brian Merkle.
And we're really glad you're here. If you have a crazy, wild experience you want to share with us on the show, go ahead and shoot us an email. Our email address is hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com. Or go to the website, hammerlanelegends.com. Hit the contact section. You can reach us that way as well. Either way works for us. Just get a hold of us. And Dad, tell them about that voicemail line.
You know what? That voicemail line is all about you leaving us a short 5 or 10 minute story. If you got one like that, just call 515-585-MERK. That's 515-585-6375. Leave us a short story. If it's longer than 10 minutes, get on the show.
Yeah. And we learned our lesson, and we're going to do a voicemail show at least every 90 days so that we right. don't have to lose voicemails like we did on last week's show. So anyways, here we go. Moving on here, we got Prepare with HLL.com. That's Prepare with HLL.com. That is a website you can go to get yourself emergency supply food and survival gear. In today's world, with inflation going sky high and the shelves in the stores are bare, you want to make sure yours at home are not bare for you and your family. So go ahead and check out Prepare with HLL.com. Get yourself some emergency supplies because you need to make sure you and your family are good to go moving forward in this bizarre world. And last but not least, keep us fueled with caffeine, and more specifically my dad, tell him about keepusfueled.com. actually, it's not called that.
No, but it's actually buymeacoffee.com/hammerlane. Just give, you know, it's a virtual tip jar is what it is, and it gives us an ability to keep caffeinated.
Absolutely. And you need to keep caffeinated while you're driving there.
Yes, I do.
When you're going through Pennsylvania at nighttime, there's not a whole lot to look at. So
no, there's not.
You want to make sure you're looking at your coffee cup the whole ride. So go ahead, check it out. Buymeacoffee.com/hammerlane. It's like a virtual tip jar that you can do and use to help the old man keep it moving. All right. Today, we got a great show for everybody. And we have Brad coming on the show. Brad, what's going on, man?
Absolutely freezing my butt off, but I'm here.
Why are you freezing your butt off?
Well, for some strange reason, God decided to make Minnesota the armpit of the world, and it is now negative 16 or something like that here right now.
Wow. And we're sitting here, it's like 55.
Yeah.
December 2nd, January 2nd.
Yeah, I think we're supposed to get some snow tomorrow, Lindsay said, but it's like a quarter inch and it's right around the freezing level. So I told her, I said, it's probably going to be like rain
right away,
or it's going to be like a freezing rain, nothing major, like quarter inch, nothing. I was talking with a guy today in Colorado, Charlie Robinson, and he sent me a picture of his lawn. It was just filled with mounds of snow. Wow. And I was just like, bro.
God bless him. You know, the funny thing is Jack went to college in Minnesota. And I remember, you know, his first winter there, and he's, you know, sending me messages and that kind of stuff. I text him in the middle of the night because he's a college kid and he's up.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like 30 below. And I'm like, dude, I'm glad it's you and not me.
Wow. Yeah, my parents are snowbirds in Florida, and he sent me a message the other day. It's 75 and sunny down here.
Well.
Wow. God bless you for being there, man. I mean, really, it is it's a tough place to be in the winter.
Are you are you born and raised there or what?
No, I was born in Indiana and I moved up here 22 years ago and still trying to figure out why. But it's for my wife. I forgot about that. And I moved up here with her and four kids later in 22 years, we are still here.
Nice, I guess.
It's nice in the summer. It's beautiful. When we dropped Jack off at college, it was beautiful in the summer. Hot.
Yeah, in the summertime, in the fall, it's just absolutely beautiful. But once it reaches October, it just goes downhill from there.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, it's crazy cold. So,
yeah, I just wouldn't like it. I've considered South Dakota, and then I saw that they get like 50 inches a year, and I was just like, oh, I guess that's not happening. Yep. I think I could have done it, but Lindsay was just not about that lifestyle.
That's one of the things I looked at, looking at some other states to live in.
Yeah.
And Tennessee was one of those states I was looking at to live in, and their like average, you know, snowfall was like 4 or 5 inches.
Perfect.
I was like, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Just enough to annoy me, but not enough to kill me.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah,
all my family lives from Indiana clear down to Florida, and I'm like the only one that decided to move north for some god awful reason, but
and they call Brad the smart one.
I is college educated, so.
I like the idea of like South Dakota because of the population. I mean, it might have changed since a year when I looked at it, but I mean, it was less than a million people statewide in that state, but.
Yeah, it's pretty wide open.
Yeah, I like that a lot. But the problem is, well, there's a couple problems. One, the snow, but also probably the lack of strong internet connection for what I do. So
I would imagine that.
Yeah, and if you're gonna have that strong internet connection that I need, it's like, oh, well, you can move into the city then. It's like, but I don't want to be in the city. That's why I moved here. Right? So.
Yeah. But they don't have any income tax over there.
I know. Well, listen,
that's a good point.
You speak my love language. Yeah. You see, that's why there's a very few select states that I'm willing to move to, because if I'm going to move to another state, they have to have no state income taxes. It doesn't make any sense for me to go anywhere else because I want to save money, not spend money.
I'll be honest with you. I'm happy with no state income taxes or no snow.
Yeah.
You can't have it both.
Actually, you can. It's called Tennessee. It's called Texas. It's called Florida.
There you go.
I think those are the main three that have no state income taxes and also no snow, essentially.
I'm thinking Costa Rica.
Oh, there you go.
You know,
yeah, I don't know what their taxes look like.
That's all right. I don't know.
Drive truck from Costa Rica.
There you go.
I can't read the street signs, but it's going great.
And it's warm.
There you go.
They don't have snow.
They're fine with me driving no shirt on. It's great.
Flip flops.
All of a sudden, I say hello to people. I'm like, hey, man.
I got steel tip flip flops for safety, you know?
You said Costa Rica, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I got a friend who's from Costa Rica and stuff, and he's told me stories of what it's like down there. I don't think you want to live there, my friend.
Probably not, but it sounds nice.
There's a reason why he came here. Be a lot more opportunity. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Well, that's all right.
So, anyways, Brad, how you doing?
Hey, Brad's on the show.
I'm here.
So, Brad, tell us about,
yourself a little bit.
Yeah. How long you've been driving and stuff, man?
Well, I am 52 years old and I've been driving for almost 40 years.
Wow.
I started driving when I was 12 on the farm, grain trucks, tractors and stuff like that. And then all through high school, I worked for farmers and whatnot. And then when I got out of high school, In fact, I've had my CDL so long that I didn't have to take the skills test when they actually came in. Wow. I had the, what they called chauffeur's license. And all the thing I had to take was the paper, air brake check thing. And that's all I had to do. And I didn't have to get behind the wheel or anything. So that's been a long, long time. I've tried to get out of the truck a couple different times. I've tried a small stint working at a hardware store as management, and I worked in restaurants and stuff and went to college, and here I am still driving a truck.
It just seems like all roads lead back to trucking.
Well, you know, I've done everything from, road construction. I've done, I've operated cranes. Mm-hmm. I've done flatbed, dry box. Right now I drive a pneumatic, and it's so hard to beat the money that I make.
Right. Right.
You know, I would love to get out of the truck tomorrow, but it's not going to pay the bills if I do.
That seems like a very common story for a lot of truckers.
Yep, it is.
I mean, yeah. Don't get me wrong. I mean, like I said before a million times on the show, I do enjoy the act of driving. I enjoy that. But there's just so much baggage that comes along with the industry anymore. It seems like I'm hearing more and more truckers talk about, like, if I could get out, I would.
And I think that's why they're having such a hard time getting drivers into the industry. It's difficult. It's not a 9-to-5er, and you just don't get that, you know? So you don't have a life. You're driving or you have a life. It's one of the two. That's what it seems like. Yeah. I mean, that's been my experience over the past 30 has been that, you know, I don't know what else to say. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And then being married, it's hard. It's hard on somebody being married. Yes, I used to be over the road, and I'm on my fourth wife. So it's
congratulations.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's a keeper. I'm telling you.
At this point. Yeah.
Well, I mean, she's the only one that'll put up with my crap nowadays, but anyway, she knows the life. She knows what it takes. And then I've come off, you know, I don't do the road over the road anymore. Mm-hmm. There might be an occasion where I'll have to take a load to Fargo, North Dakota or something. But outside of that, that's about the only overnight I'll do. Okay. I'm home every night. I usually leave at 2 o'clock in the morning and I get home 1:30, 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Wow.
What time do you go to bed at?
I go to bed. See, what's 2 minus 10? I go to bed about 9:30.
Yeah.
So you don't get much sleep then?
I can't.
It's a trucker's life.
Yeah.
I can't disconnect. Yep. That's just, you know, there's so many things going through my mind that, you know, I think about what my load is for tomorrow, or if I know what my load is a couple of days from now, what it's going to be. And if I'm switching, I haul sugar and I also haul starch. Okay. So if I have to switch between the two loads, one, I have to go to a totally different town to get. The other one I go 7 miles from my house to get. So you got to factor in when you get up and where you're going to go, how you're going to do that. And so.
What are you, in a cop car now?
No, I am a first responder and I have a scanner here. My son's going to shut it off for me.
I got you.
Man. You don't just do truck driving. You do all kinds of other stuff. You know, you got your first responder stuff going on.
Yeah, I do that. I've been doing that for almost 16 years.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So how was that then? I mean, so you're a truck driver doing the truck driver life. You know what that entails. What possessed you to bring more on your plate and become a first responder?
One of the big things was when I was younger, I used to ride around with what they called the explorers. It's where you ride around with a sheriff's deputy, and you have a uniform just like a sheriff's deputy, but you don't have a badge or a gun or anything like that. But you ride around with them in their cruiser, and you just kind of basically shadow them. And it's kind of like Cub Scouts for big kids, you know? But we had went to an accident, when I still lived in Indiana. It was on, I-65 up towards Chicago. Mm-hmm. Kind of up that way. And we had a semi rollover, and we went up there one day, and the semi was on its side. And at that time, you know, this is late 70s, early 80s. So they were still using full on cables and stuff to pick up. Nowadays, they use airbags and stuff to help support the truck.
Right.
But they were lifting the truck up, and something happened. Something got stuck, and the cable snapped and came back and decapitated the operator.
Wow.
And after seeing that, I realized that I wanted to be EMS, fire, police, whatnot. It just, something clicked in my body that said, hey, I want to do this for life. And I've been doing it 16 years. I've seen a lot of stuff.
I can only imagine. Really. I mean, that is one of those things where you see everything. You see it all. You know, and there's nothing to there's no buffer between you and what you see. You know, where we watch the news or whatever, we see, you know, you see the first responders there, but we don't see the...
Yeah, they withhold the images.
Yeah, the reality of the situation. So, yeah, that's amazing. And
what was the...
Yeah, I don't know if... Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, sir.
No, go ahead. You can finish what you're saying.
I don't know if they have Caring Bridge in your guys' area, but it's a website that when somebody's put in the hospital or that, you know, like say they were in an accident or something and people go on there and they kind of tell how the person is getting along. We had an accident just outside of town here and there was three college kids and a farmer. Farmer had worked all day, was driving home, fell asleep and hit these kids. Mm. Well, we ended up having three helicopters at the site that night. And one of the kids was, unfortunately, he passed away like the next day. But the other two kids that were in there, once they leave my scene and go to hospital or go wherever, whatever trauma center they go to, that's the last we ever see them. And so people go on there and they do these. So we'll follow these people along on the websites. And it kind of helps give us closure as first responders because we actually get to see the people at the worst possible point in their life. Mm-hmm. And then you have to go back to your regular day knowing, okay, did that guy make it? Did she make it? You know, and that really helps out. And I don't know who came up with that, but that was the best thing that they could have done, not just for families, but for first responders as well.
Sure. I mean, that makes a lot of sense. That's great that there's that kind of, I guess it'd be an internet type of a thing where you can follow up on things. That's really good. I'm glad for that.
So, mm-hmm. Like, all right, as a first responder, I mean, obviously we just heard the story of how you kind of got inspired to do it, but like, what was there a moment as a first responder, probably towards the beginning, that where you were just like hit with like a reality of like, okay, I'm in the middle of it. I'm doing this. And this is my wake up call that, okay, I'm really doing this now.
Yeah. When I first moved up here, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of sugar beets, but that is one of our main cash crops up here along with corn and stuff. But in October is when sugar beet harvest is. And it's 24/7 for like 7 to 10 days straight. And beet trucks up and down the road, and they pretty much will get anybody that can drive to drive a beet truck. You don't even need a CDL because they consider it an extension of the farm.
Wow.
And so you get some people that has some experience, but not enough experience. And like my very first run after I became a first responder was a beet truck versus car accident. A car that had three ladies in it ran a stop sign and the beet truck smoked them. And it just, pure carnage. And you look at that and you say, okay, what could I have done to help these people, even though they were just no coming back from them, but what could I have done? You know, and it helps you grow as a person. It helps your mind because you got to have a wide open mind if you're going to do EMS, and you're going to have to like blood. You know, I mean, if you've got a really weak stomach, you know, seeing a decapitation or someone splattered on the highway or, mm-hmm. you know, even amputations or eviscerations or anything like that. I mean, you've got to have the stomach for it. And I guess I'm kind of a gore hound, I guess. I don't like scary movies, but I love to go to a good bloody car wreck.
I gotcha. I'm like the total opposite kind of guy there. You know, if I was there when the very first one where the guy gets decapitated by the broken wire, you know, a cable, I would have been like, I'm out. I'm going to sit in the car and I'm, you know, you'll call me when we're done.
Yeah.
This is not me. So, I mean, I'm glad that there are people like you who are willing to endure that and aren't going to run, you know, I mean, you run to it and that's what you have to, that's your job. I get it. It's just, I'm so glad that there are people like you who are willing to do that, because I know for me, it's a very difficult thing it's just me. That's just me.
In my semi, I keep a jump bag, which has bandages and everything like that. It's something that I would carry in my personal vehicle. And if I come up on an accident scene, I will pull over and I will stop. And I think I was going through Kentucky or sometime one time, and I seen an accident. I pulled over. I'm assisting the person. And the first thing the state cop come up to me and says, did you cause the accident? And I'm like, I'm helping this person. Well, we've seen the semi sitting there. We just wondered if it was you. I said, mm-hmm. That's the way it's going to be, right? Mm-hmm. And we as truck drivers who want to help, we're kind of getting to the point now that we don't dare stop because that's the first thing they're going to think. Well, it's the truck driver's fault.
Yep.
You know, and we get such a bad rap at that. And it's just not fair to those who want to help.
Yeah, that is a big problem. And I totally agree. I mean, even minor things that I've had experiences with, I mean, I'll be the one involved in an accident. I just stay in the truck until the cops get there. I don't want to be involved, the talking to people, none of that. I don't want anything to do with it because of all the liabilities. And, you know, I'm trying to make sure at the end of the day, I can feed my family, you know?
Yeah, I was, I can't remember if it was Michigan or where I was coming up through. There was a big long line of trucks and there was, you know, back in that day, we listened to CBs all the time. Now I can't stand to listen to it. I only listen to it I pick up and I unload. And of course, then I listen to podcasts all the time. But I was going up the road and they were talking amongst each other on the CB and something. And somebody says, you better be careful. You're getting too close. And the driver had said something. Well, he better stay out of my way. Or I'm going to run him off the road. And you know, you hear it all the time. And sure enough, he ran that person off the road. And the car ended up rolling and the mother was ejected. And I, of course, stopped and I was helping and I went right to the mom because I seen her first and she was in pretty bad shape. Sorry. She died in my arms.
Wow.
So,
wow. Oh, my word.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. That's totally understandable. Oh, my word. That is frightening to think of that. You know,
and the trucker never stopped. And that was just a thing. He kind of a pit maneuver or whatever. And the truck, and there was kids in the van too. And it just, you know,
so nobody ever, I guess, found out who that trucker was.
Well, I don't know if they eventually caught up with him, but, at the point when the accident happened, you know, there was people like, hey, you better stop, you know. And then, of course, you know, I don't remember who the truck was or whatnot. You know, I mean, you know, usually if there's a Schneider or Swift or, you know, JB or whatever on the back of the truck, you say, okay, well, here's this truck. And if you can remember the trailer number, they could eventually find out who had it. But I don't remember who it was. I don't remember the truck. But I know, you know, I was in line and I watched it happen and I knew it was going to be bad.
Wow.
That's crazy.
It's horrific. I mean, that is a driver who's out of control, who shouldn't be driving.
You know? Well, yeah. And then hopefully they ended up catching them. But, you know, like I said, I don't remember if it was in Michigan or Indiana, Illinois, somewhere like that. But all I know is, you know, there was no reason for them outside of them just being in a hurry, you know, and run that person off the road.
Wow. You know, it's a shame because that just makes it that much more difficult for those of us in the industry when stuff like that happens. That's just, it's crazy. I'm sorry. It's just crazy. It's uncalled for and it's unprofessional and we're supposed to be professionals.
What Mark, Mark, I was looking at somebody else's name on my screen here. Brad. So when it comes to, I don't know, did you hear about the whole driver in Colorado that kind of, was it 110 years he got for?
Yeah, they reduced it to 10.
Oh, did they? I didn't hear that.
Yeah. Yeah, they reduced it to 10. He was a new driver. And I don't know. I only know bits and pieces of it. From what I understand, he should have taken the runaway, but he didn't. He chose to try to save it. I don't know all the specs for it, but I do know they reduced it down to 10 years.
Wow.
Well, I think that's a good thing, to be honest with you, because 110 was out of hand, I think.
I don't know.
If
I had more particulars on the story, and it's hard to get, you know, the nuts and bolts. You can get kind of the overview, you know, watching YouTube, watching news clips, stuff like, you're only getting really an overview. You haven't really gotten the nuts and bolts. And I don't know, but I agree. He should have taken the runaway ramp. That's what they're for.
100%.
You know, but what was, you know, from what I understood, he was really light in training, very young in the industry and things like that. That's what I was left to understand.
So, like with the idea of taking the ramp as a new driver, putting myself in his shoes, I've never been in a position where I even had to think about possibly taking that ramp. Now, as a new driver, depending, and I don't know how long he was driving and stuff, but you know, you're in a situation where you're thinking probably to yourself, this is seeming hairy, but I don't know if it's as hairy as I feel it is because I'm so new. I've never been in a situation like this. And I know that if I take this ramp, it's an option, but am I overreacting and will I just cost my company a lot of money? Will it cost me a lot of money? I don't know if he was owner operator. There's a lot of things that are probably running through his head at that moment where he's like, I really don't like, you know, I just, that's the way I know, at least for me, I mean, if I was in that kind of situation, I'm sure I would have thought about similar things where it's just like, is now really the time to do this? I'm scared, but I don't know if it's just me overreacting here or what. And then you make the wrong decision and things fall from there. I don't know.
I remember the first time I was out in your guys' neck of the woods. I went, is it Mount Washington you got out there or something like that? Or the Fancy Gap. Fancy Gap is where it was. Out there off of 95, I think it is.
Oh.
It's kind of out in your area of the woods. It may have been further down towards North Carolina. But the first time I went down there, I went down at night. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, this isn't so bad, you know, and, you know, you go down a couple gears and you just kind of listen to what they've told you before and, and you do it. And then, but then going back up it during the daytime and then you start to realize, oh my God, if I would have just screwed up one time, because I mean, it was a sheer drop. I mean, there's like almost no edge of the road. There was nothing. And I'm thinking, no wonder people die coming down through here.
And that's, you know, that's a huge part of the industry that we're in is you're oftentimes you're on roads you're not familiar with. You know, you're traveling into areas that you don't know, especially if you're over the road. You know, of course, you're going to be going to areas you've never been to before, especially when you first start, you know. Mm-hmm. So my heart goes out to the guy there in Colorado. At the same time, it's like, you know, cooler minds have to prevail.
Yeah.
You have to use more discretion when you're driving. And if you think, in my mind, if you think, should I take this ramp? If your brain has gone to that point, then you should take that ramp. That's how I view it now. After doing this for almost 30 years, I look at it like safety above all else.
How many people died during that accident?
Four.
Definitely. I'm fine with the idea of him spending time behind bars. I think that, you know,
it's appropriate.
There was a serious mistake that he made and it cost four people's lives. I'm really glad, one for him in the sense, I don't know the guy, but I mean, 110 years is a long, like, I mean,
that's a life sentence, dude. You're done.
You know, like, and also, how do I say, it's like, it's just, I think if it would have stood at 110 years, it would have set a really tough precedent for all drivers out there. Cause I mean, a lot of times, you know, with the court system and everything, they look at past cases and stuff, you know. I mean, we saw that with like the Kyle Rittenhouse thing. I mean, a lot of people who were pro Second Amendment were extremely relieved because they knew that if they had to use their guns for in similar situations, they'd have a similar fate, and if it was the opposite way, things like that, you know. So like, we know that the system looks at past cases a lot of times when they're talking about arguments towards you know, is it constitutional kind of thing, it's going to the Supreme Court. What do they look at? Past the Supreme Precedent. Court decisions. And so that's why I do kind of look at it, I'm like, well, I'm glad that not every driver that's out there driving has to worry about if they make a bad decision, that it's the rest of their life. Like, you should worry about being put behind bars, but the rest of your life is, that's rough.
Something like this, an accident like that, is what shows the severity of the job that we do.
Yeah.
It shows the seriousness of the job that we do and the consequences of what can happen in this job. And it should be a wake-up call to all drivers. In my mind, it just should be.
And you know, and also maybe a wake-up call to the industry in the sense of training, you know? Because, I mean, you know that he got his license and he was trained on the idea of, you know, steep hills and what to do in emergencies, all that.
All that, right.
So, I mean, maybe there's a readjustment of how we train drivers. Like here's the thing. I mean, we know that new drivers get on the road and they legally are able to drive a truck, mm-hmm. but they learn from experience.
Right.
I mean, they're like a ton, probably way over 50% of your training happens behind the wheel, learning as you go with experience. You know, mm-hmm. you experience things so many times and all of a sudden you're like, yep, I'm not going to do this because I know where that leads to and all that stuff. And so, you know, is there anything that we can do as far as training goes to make sure that maybe their drivers are a little bit more equipped in case the emergency happens like that? I know Trainer Phil is listening right now, and he probably has some thoughts and stuff on that. But, you know, it's one of those things where I think that, you know, this kind of case could really impact the industry in a positive way if it's used the properly. Brad. How you doing, man?
Yeah,
long time to talk.
I'm sitting here shaking my head. You know, just, I'm behind you 150%. I think there should be more trainers out there, though. Yeah. I think that some of these new ones that come in, like there's a company over here by me that they'll help you get your CDLs. You have to give them 1 or 2 years or whatnot, but mm-hmm. they have all automatic trucks. Well, when you do that, you can only drive an automatic truck. Mm-hmm. You know, like when I got mine, I had manual. I have an automatic truck now and I don't like it, but
I'm with you.
I don't like it at all. They just gave me a 2020 Volvo and, it's got all these bells and whistles and crap on it. Mm-hmm. And, I drive in the Minneapolis area a lot. And so, you know how people are when you're driving down the road. They zip in front of you and they zip out of you. Well, I have side and front collision alarms.
Yep.
And so the front collision alarm, if it gets in with a certain parameter, it starts applying the brakes.
Yes.
Well, you get, say you've got a 3-car distance between you and 2 cars jump over in front of you, that whole distance has gone away and it starts hitting the brakes. Well, to me, I think that's not safe. Some people think it is and some I don't, because what about that poor person behind you? It hits your brakes all of a sudden, and then they're in your rear end.
Yep.
You know, and then you're not expecting it to hit the brakes, and then you're like, "Why is my truck doing this?" And you know it.
And there's no people, out for you. There's no you.
There is no out. Absolutely
applying the brakes. You can't. And you can't override that system.
Yeah, I hated right. it. I yep. absolutely hated it because of those things. I mean, driving the Philly area, you have mm-hmm. this very similar things. People, like, you have a good safe following distance. All of a sudden, somebody just cuts right in front of you, like you mentioned in the previous show.
All the time.
Like, how you couldn't even see the car when yep. it cut in front of you, right? So, when that happens and the truck slams on, because at that point, the truck isn't just slowing down, it's slamming on the brakes. Well, what if it's slamming on the brakes? I don't know, in a heavy rainstorm yep. or when it's or just snow. Starting to snow mm-hmm. and the roads are slick and all of a sudden you have no choice in the matter. Your truck is slamming its brakes because somebody cut in front of you and all of a sudden maybe you spared that person's life in front of you, but now you're jackknifing around a bunch of other people and maybe you take out more than one. And then all of a sudden, boom, 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 we look at it 6 months later and that driver's going to jail for however how long because his truck decided to slam its brakes by itself.
Right.
Right.
And we want to bring an automation.
I was going to say that. Yep.
These are the things that you look at when you're looking at the total package of automation, is this is the stuff that has to be taken into account. And you don't know if they're taking these things into account because as a driver with
clearly,
all of
clearly
these
not
safety, right,
because they're doing it now with our trucks now
with a driver
the
behind
genius
the
engineers that yep. are making these trucks and stuff who never drove in real life yes. situations are making these trucks that are doing this now. So yes. who knows what's going to happen in the future, right?
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah, I'm bad to the bone.
Sorry.
I just had some ad-libbing there.
I thought maybe you had something going on. I didn't know.
No, it's my oldest boy. He's calling me. He had truck trouble today, and my brother-in-law went to pick him up, and I forgot to shut my phone off.
That's fine.
That was hilarious. Tony just went with it. I thought Tony had something that he was doing.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what. I mean, that was the perfect breakup anyways in the conversation because we should bring in our sponsor for today's show.
There you show. Go. That's a good idea. Yeah,
that's a
great segue.
We're back to the bone here for Manscaped because Manscaped is a official sponsor for Hammer Lane Legends. Big thank you to everybody who listens to the show and used the promo code Hammer Lane before to get us to this point. Manscaped was very impressed with the listening audience, and so they gave us a 3-month contract. And so right now you can go to manscaped.com and use the promo code Hammer Lane for any of your purchases to get 20% off. And on that website, you literally have from head to toe, complete grooming care, anything from soaps to shampoos to body wash,
shavers, trimmers,
you nose name it, freaking trimmers, it. Yep. Ears. I mean, everything.
Yep.
And I talked about it last week's show. I absolutely love the body wash. They actually won me over on the body wash thing.
I'd say from soup to nuts, but I guess you could say from balls to butts.
Or nuts. Oh, man, that's funny.
Sorry for that.
No, that's funny. That's actually really funny. I like that. So anyways, we are really happy that Manscaped is here. And if you want to save 20% off your Manscaped order, 20% off of your grooming purchases that every man is doing anyways, go to manscaped.com, use the promo code Hammer Lane. And once again, ladies, this is a great opportunity for you to get gifts for the men in your life.
I mean,
birthdays and stuff. This is stuff that guys like. And if you're just like, I don't know what to get them, you know, it's just his birthday. We just usually do something small. Manscaped is really the way to go.
Yeah,
so
it really is. And they've got it all.
Yeah. So check it out. What were we talking about before that?
We were talking about Brad. We're talking about, you know, accidents and the guy in Colorado on I-70 and
but we were really talking about something there. Automation. The truck's breaking on their own. You know, that's just
it's a scary proposition.
It is.
It really is. When that starts to happen, it's scary.
I remember, you know, when tractor 1805 at the Norristown Terminal, when it came in, it was brand new, and I had just got my trailer license, and Sven asked me to share trucks with him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was a new driver driving like a brand new truck. And I was like, oh, sweet. You know, all the other drivers are pissed. But I'm driving the truck and they're telling me how this new truck works. And I'm sure I know they still work like this and probably even better now. But with 1805, they said that when the truck starts sensing that the road has slickness to it, like snow, the axles in the back will start altering back and forth to help the truck climb up a hill. So it's just like all this automated stuff. That's what I was told by Bobby.
I don't know about that, but okay.
I don't either. I mean, maybe that's a really simplified way of saying, or maybe I'm badly telling it, but
it gives it automatic traction control.
Yeah, it's something like
that. Yeah, that's what it is. Automatic traction. My truck has it too. Yeah,
the lights come on and it tells you it's doing automatic traction control. Yeah.
As a new driver, I felt like, oh, this is super duper safe. Love it. You know, I was nervous being on my own and everything. But then as I started learning and I started learning again, hands-on learning, I was not too thrilled with some of the things, you know, like, oh, it beeps every 5 seconds because I drive in Philadelphia where there's always a car in front of me.
Yes.
It's annoying.
Yes, it is very annoying. And I don't know how your truck is, Brad, but ours, when that comes on, when the avoidance collision stuff comes on and you got the distance and it shuts the radio off.
Mine don't do that, but I don't listen to terrestrial radio. I don't listen to radio at all. I only listen to podcasts and
it shuts mine. Yeah, shuts the speakers off.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
The boop, you know,
and the most annoying thing about that is it shuts the speakers off, but it doesn't stop playing.
Nope.
So you miss like 10, 15 seconds of what
whatever
you're listening to.
Mm-hmm.
And newsflash to the people that are, you know, the engineers behind this industry. Many of the drivers listen to podcasts now. They're actually listening to information. They're not listening to replayed songs from 1985 on like a nostalgia high. Most drivers out there are actually listening to things to learn and get smarter. So when you make a truck do that and you make a driver miss 20 seconds of very important information that they find important, guess what they're going to be doing? Reaching for the radio to backtrack so they can hear what they freaking missed. So congratulations, you created more hazard on the road, not less. Idiots.
Well, you know, sometimes we hear so much about distracted driving that sometimes some of all of this safety stuff becomes a distraction. That's just my experience. And I know some people don't want to hear that. I know some trainers don't want to hear that. I know some safety guys don't want to hear that, but it's true. At some point, it becomes too much and it becomes a distraction. Go ahead, Brad.
Yeah, like mine, when the car comes alongside me, if I go to hit my turn signal to change lanes, there's sounds like a car honking.
Oh, wow.
And then, so the first time I did that, that scared the crap out of me. And then, but if you got your lane departure system on mm-hmm. and say you're switching, like, going from a two lane to a four lane, mm-hmm. the truck doesn't realize that it's a four lane. So when you start to switch to, like, say the left lane, yep. The horns and crap are going off again. And you're just like, I know what I'm doing here,
right.
You know, but we have a bypass switch for that. We could shut that off, but it only lasts for 11 miles.
Yes. That's how ours are.
Wow.
You can hit the button. You can turn it off. Like when I'm going through a construction zone, I usually turn the lane departures off because you're in like cattle chutes and you've got, you know.
We should make those lane departures a sound drop for us. every time somebody says something we don't like, we're like, burn, burn.
That's what our sound like, rumble strips on the side, and it's so annoying. That's why yes, when I'm going through a construction zone, I turn it off. You know, but then, like you said, and one of the frustrating things is that they can tell how many times you turn it off and on.
Yeah.
They know when you turn it off. And that's annoying because it's like, well, you know, you had this thing turned off for X amount of, well, yeah, because I'm going through a 10 mile construction zone.
So
that's cattle chuted. What do you want me to do?
So they don't care how often you got to turn it off if you're in construction. As soon as I saw an orange sign, boop. And even if it's like the last sign that says end of road work and they forgot it, they're hitting it. I didn't know. I just saw an orange sign.
Yeah, my safety director had sent me an email one day. How come you had these hard stops and, you know, on I-94 or not? Yeah, I-94 going around Minneapolis. And I'm like, I didn't. The truck did.
Yep.
He's like, huh? I said, the truck stopped. I didn't. I didn't want to stop, but it did. And he's like, what do you mean? I said the truck hit the brakes.
Yep.
He's like, it does that? And I'm like, you're the safety director?
Yep.
I said, you should know what we have in our trucks. Well, we've got 360-some trucks, and we just don't know what's in it. They should all be the same.
That's right. And as a safety director, you should know what equipment is on your vehicles.
And oh,
if
yeah.
you don't, you're not doing your job. I'm sorry. I agree with you 100%.
Or in our safety department, I think there's only like two or three people. So, and you got that amount of trucks. And then we have our EDLs. They're, what are they called now? Samsara. And they used to be PeopleNet. And PeopleNet we had all kinds of problems with. And then we switched to the Samsara. And it's basically I have a Samsung tablet in my truck. And that's what everything runs off of. But they're... It'll throw you in drive when you're sitting still.
Wow.
It, if I have to jockey around a couple of trailers to pick up a trailer or something, it doesn't let me go into yard mode. I don't know how many times it's kicked me out of different things. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I'll get this email from the safety or whatever. And they're like, well, how come on this day you did, ask the truck, it did it. And they're like, what do you mean ask the truck? I said, the truck did it. I said, I'm driving or I'm sitting still. It's throwing me in drive. Well, we can't have that. I'm like, well, no crap.
No kidding.
That
is all this automated trucking stuff. It's like I miss shifting gears because I just got an automatic this year.
And, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, me too. I mean, this is going to be my first winter in an automatic. I don't even know what to expect.
Enjoy.
Well, when it gets really bad, I put it in manual. And then shift it manually because you can do that.
Yes.
And it helps a lot because especially in some, you know, it's pretty flat where I'm at. But when I get down in southern Minnesota towards Iowa, I kind of get some hills down there and then it will take and it'll spin a little bit trying to continuously shift up and down to get. And I'm like, you know, we're going manual until I get it through this crap. And you know, I go down to Lamar's, Iowa, almost two or three times a week. I go to Blue Bunny Ice Cream down there, deliver sugar.
Okay.
And I'm always having to switch from manual to automatic, you know. And then I had an old International. That was the truck that they gave me. And there was only two in the fleet. And I got the one that had the worst transmission in it. So once that went out, they gave me this automatic. And I'm like, God, I really want a manual back.
Yep.
Well, I'll tell you, I think that the best thing about automatics is the coffee drinking. That's about it, though. That's about all. That's all I can say. It's nice holding a cup of coffee the whole time. Perfect.
Yeah, but with an automatic, I have no place to rest my arm.
Yep. I used to put my hand, you put your hand on top of the stick. Yeah. I used to do it all the time.
Yeah.
Yes. I have nothing there to put it. Yep. I actually use the armrest on the driver's seat now. I didn't used to.
I always used it.
I don't have one. Oh, I got one. God. What's weird is I got one against the door, but I don't have one
on the opposite side
to the middle. Yeah.
Oh my word.
That's weird.
Yeah, it is weird. I mean, at least my Mac has the armrest on your inside of the truck, instead of on the door side.
Yeah. So, Brad, man, tell me about. You got some tales with troopers.
Yes, you do.
let's go through some of these trooper stories. Let's start off with the Arkansas State Trooper that was fired.
That's the one I was looking at, too. I was like, that's got to be an interesting story.
I'm sure there's an interesting story behind it.
I used to work out of Indianapolis. I used to run flatbed. And a company that we worked for or hauled for made water towers. And we would haul pieces of water towers. We went down to Hallettsville, Texas, and down there, we actually went to LaGrange and that area. And I went down there and I delivered the load, and the company would take their trailer and piggyback it on another trailer, and they would pull doubles back. So we would bobtail home, which the company that I worked for paid us to bobtail home. And being it was on weekend, I was going to Kentucky where my dad lived, and I was going to go deer hunting. And so me and a friend of mine, we went through Joplin, Missouri, where that Chrome Shop Mafia was. Okay. We went through there, and we got our trucks washed and detailed. And so we come out of there. We went up through Hope, Arkansas, where President Clinton was born. Mm-hmm. And we went up through there and we got on the highway and we were heading. Let's see, where were we going? I was going over towards Memphis, and I was going to go over and then go up to Nashville and come up 65 to where my dad lived. And we were driving down the road, and the guy with me, we'll call him Billy, he says, "There's a trooper behind you." And I said, "Okay." He's like, "No, his lights are on." I'm like, "Why?" And it's like, "I don't know." And I said, "Do you think he wants us to pull over?" And I said, "I guess." So I pulled over, and Billy pulled over too. And the deputy comes up to me and he goes, "Were you going to stop?" And I'm like, "I didn't realize you were after me. I don't have a trailer." He's like, "Well, where are you from?" And I said, "From Indianapolis." He says, "Well, these trucks look awful, awful new. Where have you been?" And I'm like, "I'm down in, we went down to Texas." And I said, "We delivered stuff." And I said, "We bobtailed home." And I told him, I showed him the receipts from getting all this stuff done. And I said, "Why?" And he's like, "Well, we heard that there was trucks coming through with drugs." And I'm like, "Oh, we ain't got no drugs or anything." And so he says, "Well, I want to put my dog up in your truck and to see if you got any drugs." And I said, "Well, I'd rather you not put your dog here." I said, "You can get up and look how you want to." I said, "You can run your dog all the way around my truck." And he's like, "You got any weapons?" I said, "Yes, there's a shotgun underneath my bunk." But I said, "I can't get to it from the inside. You can only get to it from the outside." Mm-hmm. I said, "It's in a locked case. There's no shells." And I said, "I'm going deer hunting with my dad." And so he's like, "Okay." And so that didn't seem to bother him or anything. So he gets up in there and he absolutely tears my truck to pieces.
Wow.
He took everything out of my refrigerator. He took all the sheets off my bed. He took all my clothes out of my closets. I had a big old Peterbilt, large nose Peterbilt at that time. Mm-hmm. So, there's plenty of room up in there. And he took my TV down. He took all that stuff out. And he got down. He says, "Okay, I don't see anything." And I said, "You got to put that back the way you found it." He says, "I'm not going to do it." I said, "Interstate law says if you don't find anything, you have to put it the way you found it." He says, "I'm not going to do it." So I said, "Okay, give me a second." Our truck used to have, it's not quite Qualcomm, but we had a phone thing on it. It was only a one-way phone, well, two-way because they could call me back. But I pick it up, and it goes right to my dispatch. And I get the owner of the company on the phone. I said, "Hey, we're down here in Hope, Arkansas." I said, "Both B and Billy, they just ransacked our trucks. They're not going to put it back. What do we do?" He says, "Give me 10 minutes. So I hung up the phone, and I said, "Give me 10 minutes, and I'll get right back with you." And a few minutes later, phone rings. He says, "Your help will be there in about 10 minutes. So next thing I know, here comes 3 U.S. Marshals.
Wow.
And they come down the road, and he come up to me, and one of the marshals got up and he said, what seems to be the problem? And I said, we pulled over. We did everything he said to do. He got up in the truck and he tore my truck completely apart. And he says he's not going to put it back. He says, well, did he find anything? And I said, no, he didn't find a thing. And so he told that trooper, he said, you need to get back up there and put the truck back the way you found it. Trooper said, I'm not going to do it. And he's like, you better do it. He says, I'm not going to do it. He says, oh, yes, you are. And then he said, I want your gun and I want your badge. And the trooper's like, the trooper says, you can't do that to me. He says, I'm a U.S. Marshal. I got jurisdiction over you. If you're not going to do this, you're going to walk home. And he made that trooper walk home.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Whew.
That,
yo,
I don't even know what to say.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to say. That trooper should have been sitting outside the governor's mansion, not yours, not your truck. Arkansas? Yeah. What year was this again? What year was this again? Who was the governor at the time? I'll leave it at that.
Wow. But you know what? I mean, that's crazy. He had a responsibility. He followed through on his job, but then he didn't do the back part of it. That's part of the job.
It's because he's on the ego.
It was all ego. Trip. Yes. Yeah. It was a power trip for him.
I'm going to tear your truck apart.
Well, he lost that battle.
Yeah.
Now, he was one of those troopers that like to call you boy. Mm-hmm. Well, aren't you going to stop, boy? Boy, you must got me mixed up with somebody else.
Yep. Dude. I ain't been a boy since I was 5 years old. My dad called me boy.
Yeah,
that's BS. Wow, that was an interesting one. Yeah. That was kind of a cool story. That ended pretty well. I'm glad you stuck to your guns, man. I'm glad you held out for that.
Yeah.
So I'm
surprised that he got in trouble for the shotgun, but he said it was in a locked case and there was no shells or anything, and I can't get to it from inside the truck. So,
but see, the thing is prior to the marshal showing up, he said nothing. He didn't find anything, and he did not give you any hassle about the gun, and he knew it was there. So, what's he going to say afterwards? You know, they have a gun, but it's in a locked box. It's not. There's no shells with it. So, what are you going to do? You know, you screwed. You screwed yourself, dude. You screwed the pooch.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. Driving around with guns can be a little hairy depending on what state you're in.
Yeah, it can be. Sure. But
I normally didn't, but I knew I was going to stop at my dad's on the way back to go deer hunting. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I might happen to carry a pistol every now and again, but that's only when I went to New York.
Nobody heard that from us.
No. So, that place scares me.
That
right.
I live 2 hours from it. It makes me scared. Just being 2 hours.
I used to run North Jersey, and if I could see the Statue of Liberty, I was way too close.
Yeah.
I'm like, nope, that's too close for me. I don't need to be here.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
Mm. All right. So let's keep it rolling here with the trooper stories. And tell us about the story where this cop tried giving you a speeding ticket.
Oh, I was hauling concrete blocks, and I had a crane. It was a boom truck, basically. And we hauled a lot of blocks for Lowe's and Walmart. And they were building one down in southern Minnesota. Well, my truck is governed at 57 miles an hour just because the truck can't handle speeds with all the weight that the blocks have on it and the crane. And so I'm going down to this one town, and a state trooper pulls me over. He says, I got you doing 67 miles an hour. And I said, there's no way. And he's like, well, what do you mean there's no way? I said, my truck will not go 67 miles an hour. And he's like, well, I talked to you. And I said, I want to see your radar. He's like, well, I've already cleared it. And so right there, I knew he didn't get me done 67.
Right.
So I said, you give me the ticket, but I said, you better show up to court. And so he's like, okay. And so that was 6 or 8 weeks later, I went to court. But before that, I went back to my company. I talked with the mechanic manager there, and I said, I want a printout of my truck, and I want you to show me the parameters that my truck is set at, speed and whatnot on there. And he's like, well, they're all set at 57. I said, I know that, but I'm going to court for a 67 mile an hour speeding ticket. He says, there's no way in hell. I'm like, I know that. That's why I want you to print all this stuff out. And he said, okay. And so he said, when is the court date? And I'm like, it's, 6 weeks or whatever. And he's like, I'll go with you. So the maintenance manager went with me, and we went down there, and I went into the courtroom, and the cop wasn't there. And the judge says, how do you plead? And I said, not guilty. And he's like, well, why would you say that? And I said, I've got proof right here. And I said, this is my maintenance manager right here. I said, he will contest or not contest. What is it?
He'll attest.
Whatever. Yeah. Well, he'll attest to that my truck is set at 57 miles an hour. I said, here's the computer printout for my truck. And I said, number one, I don't speed. I've never had a speeding ticket. Well, how long have you been driving? And I said, well, however long it's been that year. He's like, you've had to have a speeding ticket. I said, no, I don't speed. There's no reason to speed. I get paid by the hour. I said, I don't need to speed. And so he had the clerk, a recorder or somebody, or the bailiff or somebody. They went and ran my driver's license at that point. And it came back, and I still have yet to this day have ever had a speeding ticket.
Wow.
And he was like, this is really impressive. I'm like, the speeding ticket? He's like, no, the fact that you went through this much trouble to prove that you – I said, I don't see myself paying a $160 fine for something that my truck physically and possibly can't do. He's like, you got a point. He said, dismissed.
Wow.
And the cop never bothered to show up. So, I mean,
And that cop was fired too.
He should have been.
Oh, man. All right. The last trooper story I got here from you is when you were like messing around with a trooper with
in Illinois.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. I was I used to go to NASCAR races, and I bought a handheld NASCAR radio, mm-hmm. Two-way scanner kind of thing. And I was in Effingham, Illinois, and they were doing a lot lizard roundup. And I was sitting there at the fuel island. And I was waiting my turn to get into fuel. And I was hearing them say, well, you know, they're over in this truck and such truck. And then I'd get on there and I go, no, they went over to this red truck with Fortune something on the side of it. Or, you know, they went over to this other truck. And then you'd see him dart over this way and he'd dart back over that way. And of course, they never caught anybody. But it was fun just to sit there and mess with them. And they never realized that I wasn't part of the whole gimmick. So it was fun.
That's hilarious.
Did you happen to help any lot lizards get away then?
I probably helped them all get away.
Looking out for the driver and the lizards.
Yeah, there you go. You know, they got to make money too.
That's right. Just stay away from the squeegees.
Oh. Oh, I heard that on that one episode. Oh, man, that was nasty.
Yes, that was nasty.
No, that stuff smells so bad.
Well, you know, it kind of makes sense, you know.
Yeah,
I guess.
Whatever.
All right. So, thanks. Was that Flatbed Johnny? Was that Flatbed?
I think so. Yes.
Sounds like a story he'd tell.
It does.
So, let's keep it on the crazy then, and tell us about the hitchhiker, brother.
Okay, I was going to Denver. Out of Indianapolis, I hauled trees to Denver. I guess we could make them grow faster in Indiana than we could in Denver, but I was going. I just got into Kansas, and it was just pouring down rain. And there was this person walking down the side of the road, you know, hitchhiking. I thought, man, if I was out in this kind of crap, I'd want somebody to pick me up. So I pulled over and picked it up, and it was a woman. And at that time, you really don't. Now I probably wouldn't pick up a woman just mm-hmm. because of everything that could possibly happen. Yep. So I picked her up, and she's like, hi, how you doing? And I'm like, where are you going? And she says, well, I'm going to such and such place. And I said, well, I'm going to Denver, and I'll drop you off, you know, at Lyman, Colorado or someplace. And she's like, okay, that works good, you know. And so we're chewing along through there, and she starts acting like she's knitting with her fingers. And I'm like, what are you doing? And she's talking to me, and she's talking about how Brad Pitt's her best friend and all these other people, and she's just name dropping people that all these famous people that she knows and stuff. And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, would you mind if I got back in your sleeper and laid down for a little? I got bed bugs, and I really don't want, you know, I couldn't think of anything to tell her,
right.
You know? And she's like, oh, okay, that's fine. And so I said, you know, I'm going to stop up here at this next truck stop. So I'm going to get something to eat. I said, I'll tell you what, I'll pull up here. I'll let you out. You go in and find us a place to sit down, and I'll park the truck and I'll come in. And she's like, okay. So she gets up there, jumps out, goes inside, and I left.
Wise move.
Yep.
Wise move. Yes.
And I felt really, really bad because she's probably sitting in there waiting on me, and she's probably drinking a glass of water that they gave her. And she's like, well, he'd be here in a minute. And no, he ain't ever coming in.
I mean, do you remember how long ago this was?
It was 93, 94.
Wow. Okay. Okay. Yeah,
it's been a while.
I would, yeah, like you said, I mean, nowadays I wouldn't pick up a hitchhiker. There's too many things that could go wrong.
Yep, too many factors, yeah, especially nowadays.
Yeah, and I still feel, like, we get hitchhikers around where I live, and I still feel bad when I drive right by them with their thumb out. I just feel bad, but I'm just like, ah.
It's the beauty of living out in the middle of nowhere. You don't see anything except for deer.
Yeah.
And once you watch the deer tried catching a ride with your car.
Yes, it did. It right in the door, in the driver's door. He's going to sit in my lap.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. All right, so listen, you went and had this this lady that you picked up. She seemed a little crazy. I would imagine there's, you have to be a certain level of crazy to be a lady asking a driver if he wants to see something he'd never forget.
Oh my God, yeah. I don't know. I'm sure there's truckers out there that's had all kinds of crap happen to him. I've seen probably everything you could possibly see on the road. But I was hauling cheese one time, and I was going across the WK Parkway going to Paducah, Kentucky. And on the radio, that's when I still listen to the radio, I heard somebody come on. It was a woman. She said, "Hey, shiny door." And that the back of the door, of course, was shiny on my trailer. And he's like, I'm like, yeah. She's like, would you like to see something you'll never forget? And I'm like, well, it is late or early, however you looked at it. Right. I said, sure, why not? You know,
I'm game.
I'm like any other guy. Yeah, you show me one. I want to see them all. Right. So she pulled up next to me, and I looked down in the car, and it's a T-top Camaro, and she's sitting in both seats. Not a stitch of clothing on. And she goes, what do you think about that? And I'm like, I think I'm going to be sick. And she says, well, that's not very nice. I said, neither was that. What'd you do to me?
Oh, man. Yeah. She took up both seats.
Yeah.
She took up both seats. I mean, and there's a console in the middle.
Yeah.
So,
Wow. So she was a large car is what we would say.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely wide load.
Oh, my word. That is something. That is, I mean, as a driver, yeah, you know, you see a lot of stuff. You see all kinds of stuff. Don't offer to show if, you know.
Just keep it to yourself. Yeah, just keep it to
yourself. Yeah.
You know.
Well, it's those people that come by you that's doing naughty things that should only be done at the privacy of their house, right. And they shouldn't be doing that on the road.
Right.
Number one, they're going to cause an accident. And number two, they're going to cause me to have an accident. Right. So, you know.
Exactly.
Yes.
It's just, it's a lose-lose for everybody.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Most definitely.
Yes, it is.
All right. Let's move into the Dakotas. Okay, let's start with the Dakotas. Let's actually start with the you hitting the elk in the Black Hills National Forest.
Okay, I was driving for Knight Transportation at the time, and they routed me through the Black Hills National Forest for some stupid reason, and I'm going down through there, and all of a sudden I see this elk on side of the road. So I slow down to about 35 miles an hour. I'm thinking that the elk is going to see me. It's not going to come out in front of me. Just like every other deer in the world, just as soon as you get there, it decides to dart in front of me. So I hit an elk at 35 miles an hour, and it was probably one of the largest elk I've ever seen. And luckily I didn't take out my radiator, but I did take out a headlight, and the company wasn't very happy with me because I went that way. And I'm like, you routed me this way.
Isn't that amazing? What were you doing on that road? Well, that was your direction.
You told me to do it. Yeah.
Well, it's like my GPS in my truck now. It'll route me places that semis should never go.
Yeah.
And I've heard you guys talk on your on the show about other, you know, low bridges and stuff like that. No, yeah. I don't like that at all.
I recently, I think it was earlier last year, 2021, I had just got to a point where I'm like, I'm never going to use these GPS again. And so I sold my commercial GPS to some guy locally. And he's like, do they work? And I'm like, oh, yeah, they work. They work great.
Low bridges, they know right where they are.
Mechanically,
bring it, right to
it works very sound. You know? Like, you push the on button, it comes on. You need to navigate, it will navigate. You need it to take you to a location, it will route you to that location. Very careful with the words that I'm using, because if you want to know, will it work accurately? No. No, it will not work the way you need to work as a trucker. But you know,
it may say commercial, but it doesn't mean it.
No, exactly.
It somebody used a squeegee on it.
Yeah,
it is definitely not a commercial company.
No, or roast beef commercial.
Oh, there you go.
So a few weeks ago, we did a show, and we had a guy on. And he was driving through Pennsylvania, and he had lost missing time. Mm-hmm. He went into some kind of like time, like slip. You got a story of time loss as well in North Dakota, right?
Right. I was working road construction out in Leonard, North Dakota. And I was coming home for the weekend, and to get to where I'm at, you have to take the I-29 corridor to get down. So basically what I-29 does, it goes all the way from, you know, Canada all the way down to Texas. It's just that whole corridor there. Mm-hmm. And so I left. It was a Friday night. We got done about 4:30. I got my laundry and stuff because I was camping out there while I was out there all week. And I got my laundry and stuff, and I started heading home. And I remember going past Wahpeton, and North Dakota. And then I don't remember coming into, South Dakota, but I don't think it was only like maybe 10 minutes or so. I like shake my head, and I'm on a road that I don't know where I'm at. And I'm like, well, how did I get here? And then I got looking around, and I called my wife, and I said, I don't know where I'm at. And she's like, well, what do you mean you don't know where you're at? And I said, I don't know where I'm at. And then the, in Big Stone, South Dakota, which is just over the border from Minnesota, there's a great big, huge power plant. And I said, I can see the Big Stone power plant. She's like, how'd you get there? And I'm like, I don't know. I said, because normally I bring I-29 down to Watertown, South Dakota, and I bring Highway 212 straight across. That comes right here by my house. So I'm like, I don't know how I got to Big Stone. And she's like, well, how long have you not known? And I'm like, Big Stone from where you get off the interstate is about 60 minutes. So I said, I had to have been out of it for at least 60 minutes to get from I-29 corridor over to Big Stone. And I said, I have no idea how fast I was going. That's a very curvy back road because it goes through Millbank and a couple other places. And that's not a very good road to even take a car on. And I have no idea how I got over there.
That's crazy. That is like, wow. How do you lose that kind of time?
Well, and to actually make it safe. I mean,
right.
You know, to even turn off the interstate, you have to go through like a clover leaf to get off the interstate. And it's just like, I have no idea how I made it over there. And I called my wife. And like I said, I'm like freaking out. I'm like, I have no idea how I got here. And so I pulled over and hyperventilated for a little bit. And then, you know, got back in the truck and my pickup and came home. But yeah, just that amount of time, that amount of miles, you know, cause it's probably, you know, 50, 60 miles. So you figure if you're doing 60 miles an hour, it takes you about an hour to get there. So it had to been longer than that, you know? So I don't know.
Man,
especially on winding back, you know, kind of a windy back road. It's like, you know, what's the likelihood that you fell asleep and you were able to navigate it, you know? That's, that's not an option. So
it's not even a road I normally take.
Yes,
that's just the thing. You know, I mean, I've been down it several times when I've been pressed for time, but, because it's like a shortcut, but yeah, I have no idea how I made it.
Wow.
I'm just thankful.
And how?
My guardian angels were with me, I guess. Yeah. But.
Wow. That is one of those crazy stories that it's like, you know, and it, I'm glad it worked out. I mean, I really am. Otherwise, we wouldn't be sitting here having this conversation. So I'm glad it all worked out.
Yep. It's bizarre. And, you know, I've had experiences where, like, you're driving and you're just like, oh, man, I don't remember making that trip home kind of thing. But, like, for me, I always chalk it up as, like, you've done it so many times that you just zone out with your thought process. Mm-hmm. But, like, that's on another level.
Yeah, that really
is on another level. So, no, it's fine. Your dogs agree with me. I like when people agree with me, even the dogs. So.
Well, my dogs would bark at a fly if it farted.
Well, all right. Well, let's wind this down then with the last story here. I want you to talk about the when you drove over the Trans Am. I think that's a good way to to end it.
Yep.
All right. Well, as every truck driver knows, when you have to make a wide right hand turn, people just love to sneak through and try to get around you.
Yes.
Well, I was downtown Brownsburg, Indiana, and I had to swing right to get over to the interstate because that was the only truck route to get over there. And I swung out, and the Trans Am decided it was going to sneak up there mid turn. And I heard something crunch, and I looked, and I was right up on top of it. I thought, well, might as well finish it. So I went ahead and finished driving across the hood of his truck. Yeah, I mean, I'm already on it. Might as well finish it. So I pull over, and for my luck, there was a cop sitting across the street that seen the whole thing. And the guy was yelling and screaming and cussing. And I said, you snuck up on me. I said, I was already in the way to turn. Mm-hmm. He's like, I know, I was there before you got there. And I'm like, then I wouldn't have went. And then the cop came over and says, no, you came in on you. I watched you. And then the guy shut up. But it was one of those things that, you know, if that cop hadn't have been there, it would have definitely been my fault. And because that's the way it always is, you know?
Yes. Yes. It's always the driver.
Always.
Yep.
Yeah.
That is a cool story though, man. It's like one of those dream stories that you wish you could just
dream scenario.
Yep.
It's like,
there's a cop. Somebody does something stupid like that and you were able to just finish.
The dream scenario for me is you're like, oh, you're an idiot. You did that. And I did this. Might as well finish it. It's like, oh, this green light will never get greener. Let's keep it going.
I mean, the damage was already done.
Yes, yes it was. Oh, that's great. That is great.
Trans Am. Oh, Brad, man, it was good talking to you, getting to know you and hear some of your stories, man. I mean, life of driving truck and stuff. I'm sure you have a billion stories you could have shared.
Oh, yeah. They go on forever. And some of them are not family oriented or appropriate or whatever. But I mean, there's a lot of cool things that happen out there, and there's a lot of bad things that happen out there. Yeah. I just hope that there's more cool things from here on out than bad.
Amen, brother.
Being a new year and all.
Well, it sounds like we need to create a new segment for Hammer Lane. We'll make it a members only thing. We'll call it Hammer Lane X, where
the blue channel.
Yeah, the blue channel.
Hammer Lane Blue.
Hammer Lane Blue. And we'll talk about all the
that's an idea, there. Yeah. That's an idea.
You sure you don't want to call it Only Truckers?
That's a good name.
Man.
Oh, man.
You can have that.
I think that's a winner.
That was great. Wow, the audience has helped us name our shows.
Yes. So
that's fantastic.
If you don't know what we're talking about, you don't want to know. If you know what we're talking about, you're laughing with us.
Yes. Oh man,
that's great. That's
that
great.
Is great.
Brad, thanks for the last, man.
Oh, it was a blast.
Absolutely, it's been fun. I've been waiting for so long to get on here. And when your wife contacted me, and I said, I don't know how you put up with them guys, but I appreciate everything that she does. So.
She's a saint.
Yeah, she tells me to go work in the office more. It's a win-win, you know? It's how we earn a living, and it keeps me away from her. So.
Yeah, well, yeah. And I can't get enough time with my wife. I would sure love to get more time with her. But, that's my son.
All right, brother. Well, it was good talking to you, man.
It was a blast.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me on, and I look forward to hearing it on the podcast. And
And you know,
and I enjoy the other show as well. So,
Brad, if you got any other stories, contact us. Come back on. We'd love to have you back. It was a great conversation.
I sure will. I'll think about it for a little bit.
And we will see. We'll see you on Only Truckers.
Yeah,
Only Truckers. There you go.
I don't know what we have to listen back.
I forgot already what it was.
Only Hammer Lane or something.
There
I don't
you
know.
Go. But
we'll figure it was out. Only, it was Only Truckers.
Only Truckers. There you go. Yeah.
But no, thank you so much for coming on. It was great. Have a great new year.
Yeah.
We really
do. Yeah, you too. It's been my pleasure.
Well, that's the show, everybody. I really hope you enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, please let us know by sharing the show. Right, Dad?
You got that right. Share it. Share it everywhere. Everywhere we can.
Everywhere.
Social media, friends, enemies, frenemies.
Just share it.
Share it.
Okay. Until next week, friends, keep the hammer down in the hammer lane.
Amen, brother.